The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hello, good afternoon. 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line with you 2 till 1. Anything you want to say, anything on your mind, call 66 13 68. Email studio at magsradio.com or SMS text 166177. We had 7 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. So that's 20 cases of coronavirus isolating in the community. 177 people waiting for the result of a test first thing this morning, and 396 people booked in all day today. From the vaccination dashboard, 63,246 people have received the first dose, 44,415 second dose. There are 4,949 people booked in over the next 7 days. And the Department of Health and Social Care is holding 12,745 shots of vaccine in stock. That's where we stand at the moment. Just a quick word. You may have seen some reports of the AstraZeneca Indian vaccine batches and what that situation is. Apparently, up to 5 million people from Britain could be blocked from European travel due to 3 batches of the AstraZeneca vaccine not being recognised by the EU's passport scheme. The vaccines were made in India and haven't been yet authorised by the European Medicines Agency, the EMA. Now, if you had an AstraZeneca jab, I'd like you to look at your little card, and these are the 3 batches of AstraZeneca vaccine that are affected. The batches are 4120Z001. And that's 4120Z001, also 002 and 003. The 3 batches of AstraZeneca made in India are affected. The batch numbers will be written or stamped on the vaccine card you got at your appointment. So that's 4120Z001, 002, and 003. Now, if that is you, we're trying to get to the bottom of this with government at the moment, but that would preclude you from travelling in Europe, as that those 3 batches of the AstraZeneca vaccine are not recognised by the EU's passport scheme. Any thoughts to talk about? Also, yesterday we were at Ramsey Grammar School with the thoughts of the students from Year 12. Anything you'd like to catch up on regarding that? On Wednesday, Tim Baker, Infrastructure Minister, was on Man in Line, if you'd like to talk about that. And later on, looking at the state of local democracy, the candidates, the constituency candidates for the local commissioners, that's all closed at the moment. It has to be said, it's not entirely healthy, because lots of those positions have been basically filled uncontested. So any thoughts you want to get in touch with, by all means, get in touch. Text, email, or call, by all means.
This young lady moaning that there's nothing for youth in Ramsey. Well, we had things for youth, a nightclub down there. We were up, everybody's pestered. The whole of Parliament Street got fed up with it, because they used to urinate in the doorways. People had to wash them down in the morning, through letterboxes, smash things. They come up Bowring Road, you run across your gardens, you used to throw vodka bottles, beer bottles, everything. And they just could not behave, shouting and screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Any thoughts on this? That was a comment came through on the answer phone regarding the students yesterday, saying nothing to do. It has to be said, that's a comment that we get from all the schools. Wherever Man in Line goes on the Isle of Man, there's nothing to do. And particularly for Year 12s, the 16-year-olds, they're not old enough to go in pubs, and they're a bit too old to go in youth clubs. So what is there to do for young people? Yesterday they were saying, why isn't there some sort of arcade in Ramsey? Well, that's always private, isn't it? It's always privately funded. Whether somebody wants to put an arcade or doesn't is up to them, whether they want to risk the capital to see if there's any return. But if you've got any shafts of light you'd like to cast on that, by all means, get in touch. A note in from David, who just said, Andy, with COVID circulating in the community again, no lockdown and no requirement for people to socially distance or wear face masks, I think we're facing an outbreak. Government should never have relaxed border controls to the extent that it has done when cases were rising in the UK. In particular, it shouldn't have introduced the provision that allows people to be released from isolation and go back out and about if they test negative for COVID within 48 hours of arrival on the Isle of Man. Anyone who contracts the virus shortly before coming to the Isle of Man or en route is unlikely to produce a positive test within 48 hours of arrival. The maximum period of isolation should have been 7 days, should have stayed at 7 days. David said the Isle of Man must be the only place in the world to relax border controls when COVID cases are soaring in neighbouring jurisdictions. The government has always said we have to learn to live with it. Mitigation, didn't they say? Not eradication, mitigation. Rod joins us on Man in Line today. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Andy. Just going by your information that you read out about the numbers of the batches, check my card. My first one was 4120Z002, and my second one, Oxford AstraZeneca, was looks like PV46685.
Okay, well, the 4120Z001, 2, or 3 are the three batches affected. So, was that your first or second one?
That was my first one.
And when did you have that?
At Iceland.
In ShopRite. When was that?
19th of March.
Right, well, we're trying to get on to the government just to see where this leaves everybody. At the moment, the EU is saying you won't qualify for a European COVID passport, but we'll find it. So it certainly seems those batches of the Indian vaccine, the AstraZeneca one, have been used on the Isle of Man then.
Right, so I'm not planning on going away, but I was just concerned, is there anything else that they need to tell us about?
Well, we'll find out from government. We'll see what they have to say. But we've approached the government. But thanks for calling, Rod.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for being with us. Jeff now on Man in Line. Hello.
Hello, Andy. Nice to speak to you. Regarding the COVID situation, it's the second time I've heard in the last couple of days that the ministers and the Director of Public Health are suggesting emphasis shouldn't be put on the number of cases in the community. It's just looking after oneself, basically.
Yes, I heard that, Mr. Ashford. I mean, from taking baby steps last year, now he's saying don't concentrate on the number of cases.
Yeah, well, I think that the number of cases ought to be continued to be publicised, not suppressed, because if you know how many cases there are in the community, then you can take appropriate measures, more or less, as you think is necessary for yourself. I'm 71. I've had both of the AstraZeneca jabs 3 months ago. But nevertheless, I think we don't want information hidden when it's not necessary, I feel. I think they've done a jolly good job, by the way. So,
yes, I mean, this is at the backdrop of the fact that there's been a huge logistical operation since last year, which mostly has been trouble-free.
Yes, agreed.
Okay.
Anyway, that's also very briefly on the Elmtree, if I may, Elmtree corridor, as it were. If there have been accidents there or near misses, people can see that the road narrows, and if they can't see round the bend, they should slow down so that, as they said in the highway code when I took my tests 50-odd years ago, slow down and don't go anywhere where you can't see sufficiently to be able to stop.
But Jeff,
you're driving.
Jeff, that's a very tempting road, isn't it?
Oh, I know. Well, there should be another speed limit on it or something, or at least warning bend signs or something like that. But I think if they produce a different exit or entrance to that farm, wherever it is, to make it safer, that would, of course, be the optimal solution. Hopefully everybody will be happy, but I think the Elms definitely need to stay.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your call. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Andy.
Okay, 16 minutes past 12. We're on air till 1 if you've got something to say about. Could be the Elms as well. That situation seems to be going. In fact, well, I think it was due to be a meeting today. Who cares about Douglas Promenade? They've started building KFC. Well, there are priorities and priorities, aren't there? You may have heard Tim Baker on earlier this week on Man in Line talking about infrastructure in general. Seemed fairly unequivocally to rule out light rail on the Isle of Man, talking about the fact that we do have the infrastructure, we have the rails, but government seems to view it purely as a heritage railway and not using the rails that we have, the infrastructure that we have, for anything else. In Blackpool, they had heritage, nothing but heritage railway, heritage stock running on their tram lines. And then in an about face a few years ago, controversial at the time, they introduced modern trams on that those rails. And it has to be said, they do put the heritage stuff on back from time to time. But the tram in Blackpool on the Fylde coast seems to work extremely well. Whether that's a green solution, whether or not it's something we should be looking at, again, there's lots more to talk about as we head up to the general election. The local election, by the way, is taking place on Thursday, July 22nd. It was due to be earlier on this year, the April the 22nd, but it's going to be Thursday 26th. So that's 3 weeks as yesterday, so 2 weeks next Thursday. We'll be having a programme live on the air when it's all happening, but it has to be said, not a lot of candidates. And what that says about local democracy, we'll be finding out. It's Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Andy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Richard.
Okay, thank you. Andy, just regarding this vaccine and the Indian vaccine.
Yeah.
I had my second jab at the airport on the 18th of March, and it was 412-0-0-2. When I asked the doctor a little while ago for a letter to prove I'd had both of the vaccines, they said that the information that came down from government, it's the four, the batch number now says A120Z002, and the doctor say they can't change that because that's come down from the government.
Wow, and what does it say on your card? 4120Z.
Yeah, it's a 4120Z002. Yeah. But the letter that the doctor gave me, and they say that information comes from government, there's no 4 at the start. It's an A. A120Z002. Now, my concern is, I'm not particularly worried about going to Europe or whatever, but I presume that government information goes up to the NHS app when it's ready to be released to us.
Yes. Have you downloaded the NHS app?
No, I haven't yet. That's one thing I've got to do. But I don't think the information about the vaccines is on there yet, is it?
No, I don't think it isn't. But at the moment, we've contacted government. In fact, we did a couple of hours ago just to try and get some clarity on where we stand. But I know the letter A looks a bit like 4, but
it's certainly 4, and it's. I did query it when I got the letter from the doctor, and they said they couldn't change it because it had come down from government.
Well, as soon as we know what the government's stand is on this, what their follow-up is, we'll be broadcasting it, Richard.
Okay, thanks, right. Andy.
Thanks for calling. Let's go to Howard now on Man in Line. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I'm just listening to you saying about the light railway and the Blackpool trams, etc.
Yeah.
Well, Blackpool trams, I've been on both the old ones and the new ones. New ones are very nice, but that is a commuter service, and it runs through to Fleetwood. And it must have cost an astronomical amount to renew all the rails all the way up through, and it took several years. Right the way through from Blackpool to Fleetwood, it was lifted and relayed, and the new trams built. So what you're essentially talking about, to shift a few hundred people a day, is an astronomical amount of money to be laid out. The railways at the time, the steam railways, were ideal because there was dozens and dozens of trains leaving every day to go south, north, east and west. But the people are not here for that now, and you're going to have an awful job to get people out of their cars. Even the bus service, for the likes of myself and my wife to go up to where our doctor's surgery is now, be about a three-hour journey, at least, depending if you get your appointment on time, you know, to get a bus. Whereas in a car, which people have grown used to now, it's a 10-minute, quarter of an hour journey up, sit and wait, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour back. Well, people are not going to be prepared to be hanging around for hours for bus service and train services.
But we have politicians, Howard, who seem vehemently to want to get rid of cars. They yeah. want us now. We can't all leap on bikes in the middle of November and cycle everywhere. So no. If we are to give up our cars, and it may be that, you know, I'll be long gone before all this happens, but if they do want to get people out of cars, public transport has to be comfortable, frequent and cheap.
Well, it's cheap for me because I'm a pensioner. It's comfortable because, all right, the buses are new. At one time they had some that were, well, let's put it this way, well past their sell-by date, but nowadays they've got a modern fleet. This fleet of buses here on the island is second to none. But people require transport to and from places at their convenience, not at the convenience of a bus company. And the likes of Manchester and places like that where cycling, you're cycling largely in flat areas. But I could just imagine after a day's work trying to struggle up the Richmond and, you know, on a bike and then rallying downhill the next and going back up the next bit, you'd be wrecked by the time you go home.
But ironically, Howard, I mean, go back 50, 60 years, people used to cycle all over the place.
Yes, I don't disagree. But life changes. They also used to go by horse and cart.
Yeah.
But now they go by car. And this government is so adamant on changing things that they're not even looking ahead. They're just saying, "Look, it's like looking down the bonnet of a car. Oh, I didn't see that big block of stone that was 200 yards in front of me." But this is what they're doing. They're driving down a path there now, pushing for electric vehicles, pushing for various other means of transport. But where can you see the government making progress in fitting, apart from Chester Street, where there's two, electric charging points? There are none.
Yeah.
And the Isle of Man, several years ago, I went to buy another car, and the salesman said to me, I was looking electric. He says, "Don't bother, Howard," he says, "at the moment." He says, "because the hills on the Isle of Man are defeating the object of having an electric car." But that's several years ago. Batteries are a lot better now. But you're still carting virtually a two-ton car around. And in the future, where are they going to dispose of all these batteries that are being produced?
Well, again, this is something for, you know, people higher than you and me. Well, certainly higher than me. People will have the bright ideas about what to do. But if they keep preaching to us about being green and sustainable transport and active travel and this, that and the other, they surely have to show us a way out. There has to be a way forward for this to happen, Howard.
Well, I think, like a lot of other things within government, being green is a business now, and they've already thrown or offered to throw £10 million at it for the environment and everything. We've progressed slowly to where we are. And we're not going to come out of it by taking one huge leap into an unknown. And that's what the government are trying to do. They've got to look at the long term. And they're not looking at any long term. They're just looking at today because they're not, or might not be around the next 5 years in the government. So they're not particularly bothered. But to me, I think the way they're working for the environment and the green scene and all this, it is heavily pushed by commercial interests.
Okay. All right, Howard, have a good weekend.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers
now.
It's 26 minutes past 12 midday. This is Manx Radio. Just a quick note, by the way, the Matrix signs, Sulby, Hilbury, Bagarrow and Ramsey to the Mountain are all showing fog. There is fog on the mountain road, and there's also a little fog regarding local democracy on the Isle of Man, because the nominations have closed for local authorities around the Isle of Man. Ewan Gorn's with me from Manx Radio News. This is all slightly depressing, Ewan.
Well, the headline is seven authorities are holding elections. Now, of the seven, within those seven, some of them are just wards in authorities. So Douglas, Garth, for example. But that's seven authorities out of 21 local authorities. Now, that's only 30% of our local government bodies having actual people going out and to vote who they want to represent them. Of course, people do choose people to go into local authorities, so we can't say it's entirely undemocratic, but the lack of a democratic contest, that will be raising eyebrows, I think.
I mean, in reality, what's happened is people have wandered in. Oh, sorry, that may be disparaging. People have marched forward towards a place on a local authority uncontested. Not enough people have declared to actually make a democratic contest of it.
And this isn't unusual.
In 14 out of 21.
Yeah, and last time it was in the last election, 2016, there were 22 authorities because, of course, Arbery and Rushton have merged this time. And again, there was only seven elections then. So this is in keeping with the trend. Whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, that's a perspective. I think that if you do think local government needs reforming from a democratic perspective, you could certainly point to this.
It's Thursday 22nd. There will be contests. Where will there be contests?
Yeah, so the good news is for the people of Castletown, there's going to be a contest. They've got quite a few. There's seven seats in Castletown. I think it's about 10 people standing. Douglas, there has been one ward which went uncontested. That was the South Ward. That means Stephen Crellin, Frank Shungle and Claire Wells have all been elected. They will do when the cutoff finishes. I think the end of this term for authorities is the 31st of July, so the 1st of August is when the new administration starts. But Douglas East, Douglas Central and Douglas North, there'll all be elections there. Just a reminder, that's all changed. There used to be Hills Ward, Athol Ward, Derby Ward, but that's all changed.
The wards that they named Lord Shreve Flats after.
Yes, that's correct. They've mirrored the Keys wards now. What I will say for those people canvassing is they've got bigger areas now, and that was the complaint. MHK's get a bit of financial help doing that, whereas councillors really, the incentive is just the attendance fees. But Garth, there's an election in Lonnon. Garth is, of course, three wards, Laxey, Lonnon and Mackled. Just looking at that, out of interest, Jamie Smith, who is standing for Garth, he's been elected uncontested to Mackled. Now, this is actually happening in other places across the island. If you get in uncontested, you can continue to serve on the authority, even if you're standing for a House of Keys constituency. There are, of course, all the candidates in Garth. Elsewhere, we've got an election in Jerby, which has actually returned an enormous number of candidates for Jerby, considering they've not had many elections in the past couple of years. There's five seats in Jerby, and you've got 9 people coming forward. So that is good to see in some of the more rural areas. And just to round off, where else? Onchan, there's a big election. The story there actually is that Nigel Dobson from Garth, who was, of course, the chair of Garth for some years, he put his name forward both for Garth and Onchan, and seems to have withdrawn from Garth and is now going for Onchan. So we'll have to catch up with his motivation. But there's a healthy contest in Onchan and lots of issues to get a grip with there. Peel as well, returning a large number of candidates. And Santon, another sort of rural authority that they don't hear much about, but good to see an election happening there. But they, of course, dwarfed by the large number of authorities where there isn't a contest.
Why is this happening, Ewan? Why are the majority, an enormous majority of councils and local authorities being awarded uncontested? Surely that can't be healthy.
I think it depends on your perspective. I think there's lots of things at play here. There are a lot of commissioners who have done that job for a very long time. A lot of them actually wanted to step down last year, and of course it got delayed by a year, so they did another year. But I think people don't realise that, local authorities, perhaps unless you're a councillor, they get a sort of an attendance fee. There are some expenses fees. You're not getting paid. You might get £1,000 or something for attendance or travel expenses. So is that incentive there for a younger person who actually has a day-to-day job? You tend to see older people, retired people with the time to do it. Mm. And if they've been doing it for a long time, they're essentially volunteers in a lot of cases. Maybe there's a planning application that's come up and they haven't engaged with it properly. I know the accusations in Maloo that the authority there didn't look at the Elm thing, and now
which means obviously that you're on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah,
if you become a commissioner, first of all, there's no recompense for it, so you're volunteering essentially. And if you're on the wrong end of the Elm decision in Maloo, you can get all yeah. sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I know. Interestingly, a lot of those members have stepped down. We don't know the motivation for that. But so, you know, you make one mistake and you can be front and centre of the ire of the community. So when you add those things up, obviously, you know, is it an attractive position? Some would argue that there are these smaller authorities. You know, what is the value in having such small authorities? We need to, you know, this will no doubt spark the conversations about, you know, four plus Douglas or whatever, however you want to do it. But it's quite hard to answer that question in one way, to be honest.
Well, hopefully we'll be chatting to some commissioners in the future as we come up to the election. But an interesting take on that. And, you know, as you say, the trend is being sadly maintained.
Yeah, it's not gone in any direction. And one thing I have to say is I was speaking to a few local authority clerks, and they do say the timing makes a lot of difference. So because we've had, it would have been the local authority elections last year with a year's difference between the Keys election. So maybe you would have seen people, I mean, you see it all over, joining the authority for a year, then stand in for Keys so that, you know, they bed in with the local issues, get to grips with some of the things that are going on, use it to canvass and get in. I mean, loads of MHKs have been commissioners and councillors.
And chief ministers.
So this is, you know, this timing now with the Keys just on the horizon, you know, maybe somebody who wanted to dip their toe in a local authority before Keys is now thinking, I'll just go for Keys or whatever. And also, you know, we're seeing lots of authority chairs step down. I mean, the big one is David Christian. I mean, we don't know if he's going to go for Keys. We've asked him that every 4 or 5 years, and he says, oh, he's thinking about it, but wasn't sure. Well, we are trying to get in touch with him to find out, but he's not going to be leading Douglas Council. That's going to be quite considerable considering the amount of time he's been there. Andy Cowie is moving on in Ramsey. He's been the chair for a number of years. Michelle Haywood, standing for Rushen, no longer being Port St Mary chair. So I think, yeah, the timing is something you could certainly point to.
Okay, thanks for being with us, Ewan. And from Ewan to Juan. Hello, Juan.
How are you, Andy? I'm breaking my golden rule. I'm coming on 3 times this week.
Oh, crikey. You're not going to talk about boxing. That's the one thing there.
I'll leave that for the sports desk. I think Tim Baker took up so much time on Wednesday, everyone was wanting to get on and get some questions answered. But as we know from Question Time in the Keys, Tim takes his time on answering quite a lot of questions, doesn't he? So I've got, I see we're having a problem with the vaccinations. I've got mine sorted out. It's called the Immune System 1965. Gets you in everywhere. It's fine. Not a problem at all. Don't have to worry about any vaccination numbers. So I was wondering the big question, Andy. I see we've got Stu Peters now standing and Tim Glover. I suppose everyone wants to know, are you standing for Keys?
Oh, I'm nowhere near clever enough.
I just wondered when Stu's standing, when he asks a question, will people just have to text and email him back in?
No, I think there are going to be lots of public meetings, which I'll come to, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to be taking the man in line round in the evening times to each constituency, and we'll have a public forum broadcast live on the air.
Brilliant. And just going on to the vaccination problem, obviously now it's occurring. There's people saying that they can't get into certain places. I think it would be quite fair to say that we haven't got a SARS-CoV pandemic at the moment. What we've got is a PCR pandemic, because everything seems to be revolving around tests. And again, going back to the figures, which is there for people to look at, we haven't got. Surely this thing should be based on people that are hospitalised and death rates. And what we've got now is a mad panic about testing. So I think it'd be fair to say that we've got a pandemic on PCR testing. And if anyone bothers to look at people like Carrie Mullis, who was the inventor of PCR testing, or one of them, and quite clearly says that the PCR testing wasn't really developed for this type of thing. So you wonder why it's being used if people who invented it say that the thing works perfectly well for what it was used for, but this is not being used correctly. So it's kind of a bit mind-boggling and head-scratching where all this is going to, and the people who are in authority, why they're not looking down these avenues and stuff.
Will you be at Timbledale on Monday?
I will indeed, Andy, yes. I won't be wearing any posh outfits like you will.
You're not presenting any petitions or anything, are you?
I won't be presenting. I'll be too busy. I won't be presenting any petitions. But it would just be nice to present the petition where we can just say we want to go back to jabs being on the end of your nose and waves are what crashes onto the beach. That would be a great way, wouldn't it? Go back to the normal that we once had.
All right. Thanks, Joe, and have a good weekend.
And you, Andy. Bye-bye.
Take care now. Corkill, 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 Corkill. Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer. Yay! Your movers are here. They do it right. As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call 675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com. Typhoon House. Happily working to keep you working, whether from home or the office. We can supply you with ink and toner for your printers and copiers. All major brand cartridges are held in stock, along with our outstanding range of 100% guaranteed compatible cartridges at discounted prices. And ask us about new printers and copiers. Call 661-331 or email typhoon@typhoonhouse.im. Typhoon House. Welcome to the Miller Chubbs of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Miller Chubbs team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Miller Chubbs of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on. Creating a home where you'll love to be. Miller Chubbs of Ramsey. We can't bring you the Southern 100 Race Week this year. But we can bring you the Southern 100 Motorcycle Show. On what would have been the start of Race Week, you can still get your fix with an incredible one-day show in the race paddock at Castletown. Vintage and modern Concours d'Elegance, Auto Jumble and Stance, and performing live, the world-famous Purple Helmets display team. The Southern 100 Motorcycle Show, Saturday, July 10th from 10 a.m. Supported by IFGL and your Nation Station, Manx Radio. The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 22 minutes before one. Just a quick note in. Hi, Andy. Was wondering whether you've had any feedback on the new border process at the port. I came back on the steam packet last night, and whilst there, there were dozens of high-vis jacketed people around. The queues were directed through just two lanes, causing massive bottlenecks and delays. I queued for more than 30 minutes. The boat was fairly empty, so I dread to think how long the delays are going to be when visitors come back in any number. The island isn't going to look very attractive if there are long delays at the border, says Texter 607. And Tony was with us now. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Well, okay today. It's a bit misty here, but everything seems to be okay. What about yourself?
It's not raining. That's the good news. Okay, what I called for was, there was a comment about, and I agree with all the stuff that Howard was saying. The Department of Infrastructure seems to have taken it into their head that we should all ride bikes. And that's driven by people in government who think it's a good, nice thing to talk about, but they're not going to be around in 5 years' time, basically, so they don't worry about it. But the Department of Infrastructure is completely out to lunch as far as what it's trying to do and why. So why don't they start thinking about some simple things they could do instead of putting bridges in for people to ride bikes over? Why don't we start planning to use the old Manx Electric permanent way during the winter, and if possible other times of the year, for comfortable modern carriages driven from the overhead electric, which I believe is exactly the same sort of setup as you have in Blackpool. There seems to be no thought goes into anything that the DOI does, or government for that, that's long term. If you want us to get off on buses, that's fine. Bus doesn't stop near my house. It's miles away. And the other thing is, I don't want to travel when that travels. And I'm not very impressed with the bus service anyway. Are you still there, Andy?
I'm listening to every word you're saying, but just trying to... So how do we draw the strings of this together? If government, whether it's the bureaucracy or the elected members, are saying we should go green and do active travel, how do they... I mean, do you think it's their job to show us the way forward? Or, I mean, what do we do? Because inevitably, if you say to the government, we want modern trams, they'll come up with an enormous figure that it's going to cost, and You know, it'll be they'll bring some experts from somewhere else and just say, well, you need to do this and it's going to cost 200 million and everybody will say, don't bother. So how do we move that forward? If we do have the infrastructure, if you've got the permanent way, what's the next stage?
The next stage would be to buy two trams and run them every hour back and forwards to Douglas. And that's not going to cost 200 million. The track has all been relayed. They've spent millions and millions and millions on relaying track, putting concrete sleepers in, re-graveling it all. If you ask a Freedom of Information about how much they've spent on it, you'll get a shock.
So
it's not cheap.
And I think that's an
important people over.
Yeah, that's an important point to make. Is it may be a heritage railway, but the permanent way has to be absolutely top hole. It's got to be fit for the job.
But the carriages they're using on it are three times the weight of a normal modern electric tram. So you're not going to wear the rails out. You're not going to do any damage. The issue is there is an unwillingness at government level to do something that's different from what the decision that they've already made. Because they've made a mistake in saying jumping on a bandwagon, and as usual, they can't admit they've made a mistake. So now they're stuck. So their solution is to tell everybody, just travel, active travel, active travel. Well, if I've got one leg, how am I going to do active travel? If I've got a bad ankle, how am I going to do active travel? And older people, which is the majority of the people that want to travel, because most everybody else goes to work and doesn't have any choice, and usually they live near work if they can, there needs to be a thought put into how do we deal with the ageing population and their needs, not how do we deal with getting to a target that we've arbitrarily thrown out there and told DOI, try and reach that target. Because what they're doing is wasting a fortune. I mean, I've got an Ipso Murray poll letter yesterday asking my opinion about the DOI and what it should and should not do. Now, they do this regularly every 5 or 7 years. But they obviously don't read anything, because I think last time I put in, we shouldn't be following on bicycle paths. We shouldn't be chasing around after bicycle paths. Have they taken any notice? No. Because the government has made the decision, we will put bicycle paths in, and you will have to travel by bike.
So do you think, let's just say, let's imagine, instead of clambering 3 or 4 steps up to a heritage tram, if there were a low-level tram that went from Douglas to Ramsey once an hour with automatic doors and everything that goes with it and Wi-Fi and this, that and the other, do you think that would work?
I think that would be packed with people that will be able to go to Douglas and don't have to worry about parking, for a start. They have a parking space right next to the tram terminal, which could be utilised quite easily in Douglas. In Ramsey, we have the tram terminus, which they no longer use, but the track is there. So there isn't a problem to do this. It's just the willingness to do this.
Okay.
And they'll find 50,000 reasons why they can't do it. I can tell you that now.
And have you filled out the form to Ipsos yet?
Oh, believe me, I'll be sending it back in.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Tony. Have a good weekend.
You take care. Oh, by the way, Andy.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to do something with the government website to get the entry permit sorted out. Because when you try and come back here, there is no step-by-step instruction of what you've got to do. You first of all have to get permission, if you're a 2+2, from a different department from the old days. They've moved the web link, by the way. It's now all under the something office or other. So you have to go there, get their permission that you can travel on the basis of, I've had 2 injections. They give you a number. You then apply for your landing form and put that number into the application for the landing form. When you get that back, they then tell you, okay, here's your landing form. We need to be able to scan this QR code. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of people are going to find that difficult, the process entirely, especially if you don't do internet and you're not computer literate.
Okay, all right then, Tony.
You have to upload your forms as well of your proof of vaccinations.
Thanks for calling today.
You take care, Andy. All the best. Bye.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. And Ian's with us on Man in Line. Hello, Ian.
Hi.
Hi, Ian.
Just a quick thing to say that I'd like to thank Hospice. They did an open gardens last weekend, last Saturday, on certain houses around the island. And we went down to Baldoon House. And what a treasure that is. Unbelievable. The gardens, we've been to Highgrove and round the gardens there, and they're not a patch on this.
And whereabouts exactly is it?
It's a private house, and it's Baldoon House at the top of Baldoon Road in Laxey, and it's absolutely fabulous. I mean, I live virtually next door, and you wouldn't know it's there. What a gem.
Okay. All right.
I'd just like to thank Hospice for setting it all up, and for Denise Simpson for allowing us all to go round her gardens. It was absolutely a gem. And, you know, the island is so beautiful, people just don't realise what's here.
All right. Thanks for calling us today. We're happy to put that on the record.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
13 minutes to one on Manx Radio. By the way, if you're in and around Onchan or travelling through, the Farmer's Market's on today till 4 o'clock at the Village Walk in Onchan. It's all Manx produce, some good skeet as well, all the beeswax products and the honey and the vegetables and the pies and everything that goes with it. Onchan Farmer's Market on today till 4 in Village Walk. Now, the all-important batches of this AstraZeneca vaccine that are affected, and all this is... up to 5 million people have been given this vaccine around the British Isles. You could be blocked from European travel. There are three batches of the AstraZeneca vaccine not recognised by the EU's passport scheme. They were all made in India and haven't been authorised by the European Medicines Agency, the EMA. They are batches 4120, Z001, Z002, and Z003. So if you've had any of those AstraZeneca vaccines, nobody's talking about the quality of them or the efficacy or anything. It's simply that at the moment, the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, doesn't recognise or authorise them for a European travel passport. So batches, they all start with 4120, Z001, Z002, and Z003.
As we reflect on the year gone by, Harding Lewis would like to say how proud we are to support and advise local businesses. Being there for our clients to guide them through these challenging times has been rewarding and has strengthened our commitment to offer the highest level of service to the community. If you want to face the future with an experienced firm of chartered accountants as your business partner, visit hardinglewis.com or check out our Facebook page. See more, do more, together.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677-137. That's 677-137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
We all need to make positive personal choices to beat COVID. The risk of infection increases in close contact, confined and crowded settings. When you're out, think hands, face, space and fresh air. Visit covid19.gov.im. Make the right decisions. Be safe, be smart, be kind.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And let's check out Dog is with us on Man in Line today. Hello, John.
Hey, boy, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Powder Radio. I was on the other day, I think it was your show, talking about the glasses for the masses. After I come off, I had a phone call from a lady who said, how many do I need? And she's paid for the bags. this is bags I was looking for. She paid for 800 bags and the carriage to the Isle of Man.
I remember you were on late lunch, I think, talking about you needed the bags for, you didn't want the glasses cases, just the bags.
No, I need bags, because what's happening is I'm taking them out of the cases. That's an idea. Anybody got an idea what I should do with all these glasses cases? Because it's pointless selling them all them out to Nepal. So anyway, or Romania. So I don't need the glasses per se, but anyway. But I instead of them being loose, I've got to put them in little paper bags, because I don't know if you ever picked up a glass that's in amongst a whole load of other ones and about seven come up with it, all linked it. So I'm individually packing them in little paper bags, and they're going out. So that means they'll not be a mass. So that's it. Just
fantastic.
A thank you.
Okay. What was the lady's first name, Doug?
Margaret Ann, I think she was.
Okay.
She'd been on a little bit earlier. She lives in somewhere like Northampton. But it's like it's the other end of the world to us, isn't it?
Okay. All right, have a good weekend.
Thank you, God admired. Bye.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Christine Urquhart is a House of Keys candidate standing in Douglas East. It's her first foray into politics. She's standing as an independent, and she's up against Joni Farragher of the Manx Labour Party, Michael Joseph representing Liberal Vannin, and independent candidate Mayor of Douglas, John Jockin. Simon Richardson asked Christine if in general terms she's been satisfied with the current administration.
No, there are some good MHKs in government right now. However, they promise transparency every election, and they do everything to avoid that transparency that the people that they promised and that the people want and the people need. So no, I haven't really been. It's been this last 5 years that I've really, really took an interest in Manx politics, because of the administration we have now.
Now, tell us a bit about your background. You have, I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, worked on both sides of the fence, so to speak, in both the public and the private sectors.
Yeah, I have. I've worked in various departments within government, in education, health, DfE, and all customer-focused. And, you know, and this is the biggest customer-focused thing I'll probably ever do, being trying to become a politician for the people of Douglas East. I gained lots of experience within these departments. I also became aware of many failings of these departments, which I look to carry forward and hopefully be able to rectify.
Now, you're a founder of the Ellen Vannin Victim Service, and this was based, I think, on your own experiences as a victim, in fact. As it stands now, do you believe there are large gaps in provision for people on the island?
100%. The victims are, you know, there's not a one place where a victim can go and that's it. You know, they go to the police, they go to victim support, they will eventually go to a SOC when that opens, hopefully in the next month. They're going to the hospital. The onus is on the victim to travel around all these services. Ellen Vannin Victim Service looks to combine all and put them under one roof, so the onus is taken off them, and they only need to give the statement once, and there's no onus on them to give that again, and to help support them through any court processes.
I think on record you've said once there is a victims shaming and blaming culture on the island.
There is.
How can that be changed?
How can that awareness, be mindful of the words that you use. The press, unfortunately, they go for sensationalist headlines, which is great for that newspaper or that station. But the victim behind that headline is sat bereft at what that headline says, you know. Drunk 15-year-old underage sex. That's not what happened. That's drugged, raped child. You know, they need to be wary of the words they use to not re-victimise the victim again.
And finally, how important is it, not specifically in relation to the previous question, but in general, to have more women in the Manx Parliament?
I think there needs to be a balance. You know, we're all about equality at the moment. And I think that needs to be reflected in government and within our politics.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini-site at manxradio.com.
Here's a message in, said Andy, on the question of vehicles on the road and cycling. Yesterday in the post, I got my Ipsos Mori survey from the Infrastructure Department. The last gentleman said previously, saying, please help us in improving local streets, roads, buses and cycling. I think it's a tick box questionnaire. Most probably will never be read, even if it was filled in and sent back. Well, if you can get me a scan of that, send it in to maninline@manxradio.com. I'd love to see that. I never get any of these surveys. I wonder what. That's it for Man in Line this week. Going to be back on Tuesday, live from St John's on Monday morning for... I'll be at the Lychgate talking to the petitioners and the politicians, and back with Man in Line on Tuesday. Next Thursday, by the way, live at QE2 High School. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Have a great weekend.
W-I-N-E.